Good morning, Hope Church. How's everyone today? It's good to see all the bright, shining faces today. I'm excited to be here with you this morning to share from God's Word. And we're going to look at a passage from the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. So if you would turn to that in your Bibles now, what we'll do is we'll kind of walk through this as we go through the message. But first, let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow before you and praise you, Lord. We thank you for the blessings that you pour out. We thank you for your church. We thank you for the opportunity to gather here and worship and seek you in your word. And Lord, as we seek you, we just pray that you would pour your spirit out, that you would teach us, that you would touch our hearts, that you would change us, Lord. And Father, we just pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our salvation. Father, hear our prayer, for it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, it's Christmas, right? The holidays, we're in the middle of the holiday season. And I really enjoy this time of year. It's a great time of the year. Maybe the most wonderful time of the year. Hey, you know what? That sounds like it would make a good song. Maybe I'll just write one. Maybe it would go, what, something like this. It's the most wonderful time of the year. What? What, that's already been written? Really? Oh my goodness, that was my big chance at being a famous songwriter. Oh well. But the question I want to ask this morning is, what makes this the most wonderful time of the year? Well, I happen to have the song right here. Yes, I knew it was written. But I happen to have it right here. Maybe this gives us some clues. It talks about kids jingle belling. I'm not sure what that means, but everyone telling you be a good cheer. Okay. There's holiday greetings, friends come to call. That sounds pretty good, right? Parties for hosting? Yeah, parties are fun. We had our Christmas party this past Friday. That was a lot of fun. Talks about marshmallows for toasting. I have no idea what that has to do with Christmas, but caroling out in the snow, for me, not a big fan. It says there'll be scary ghost stories. I have no idea what that has to do with Christmas, but tales of the glories of Christmas is long ago. It's good to look back and remember. There'll be much mistletoeing, and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. So that sounds pretty good, right? Well, that's what the song says, and I agree with some of that. But what I want you to think about this morning is I want you to think about what makes this the most wonderful time of the year for you? It's the holidays. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Or is it? Did you ever stop to think that maybe things aren't so wonderful for some people, even though it's the holidays? You see, Christmas doesn't change the fact that some of us are facing significant challenges in life. See, the problem is the holidays don't heal those with significant health problems. Christmas doesn't find a better job for someone who's unemployed and on the brink of financial disaster. Oh, maybe there's a seasonal job, but it's not a long-term fix. Christmas doesn't bring back a loved one who was lost during the year. It doesn't cure the addict. The holidays don't heal the family feuds and hurts that have accumulated over the years. And the holidays don't relieve the pressure and stress that many feel from jobs or school. In fact, the holidays may be a time for some that only make those pressures and anxieties worse. And unfortunately, this hit really, really close to home for me. Just a couple of weeks ago. See, I got a phone call from my brother-in-law. And he told me that my nephew, 22 years old, a senior away at college, had actually considered doing himself harm. He actually considered hurting himself. Blew me away, just tore out my heart. And later on that day, the very same day, I got a call that a friend of mine who I used to work with very closely, known him for a long time, his wife, who I knew quite well, she did it. She killed herself. She committed suicide. And I can't help but wonder why, during the most wonderful time of the year, would anyone consider taking their own life? The most wonderful time of the year? For most of us, but not all. Well, this morning I want to take a look at the Scriptures, specifically this passage from Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, because in it, we can find some insights into what really makes this the most wonderful time of the year, but as important, how we are to live our lives in light of this. Now, I always like to explore the context of a passage, because context will always help you to better understand the Bible in general, but certainly the passage that you're going to be looking at specifically. So, briefly, the church at Colossae was started by a gentleman by the name of Epaphras. Now, Epaphras had visited Ephesus, which was a city where Paul was, and he was planting a church there in Ephesus. Now, Epaphras was there. He heard the gospel of Christ, and he accepted it. He returned to his hometown, Colossae, okay, to share that good news, and he started this church. And it was growing, but some false teachers had begun to corrupt the gospel. Now, at the time that Paul was writing this, Epaphras was actually visiting Paul in Rome and was telling Paul about these false teachings. Now, it's not exactly clear what these false teachings were, but they had to be addressed. So Paul wrote this letter, and he wrote it to make sure that the details of the gospel were clear. And he does that in the first couple of chapters. Paul makes it clear that Christ is in all and is all. By him all things were created. He is the Lord of creation. And in Christ, and that's the overarching theme of Colossians, in Christ, he says, in Christ we are redeemed. In Christ our sins are forgiven. In Christ we are reconciled to God. See, Paul wants there to be no mistake. It is only through the work of the cross, it is only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that we are saved. That and nothing more. So let's look more closely at our passage for today. The first insight we get from Paul helps us to understand what makes this such a wonderful time of the year. In the beginning of the passage, verse 1, he writes, "Since then you have been raised with Christ." And what he's doing here is he's referring back to chapter 2, where he makes it clear that, he says in chapter 2, verse 13, "When you were dead in your sins," and we were all dead in our sins before we came to Christ, "when you were dead in your sins, God made you alive in Christ." We are made alive in Christ. There it is, in Christ, that overarching theme. He forgave all of our sins, and the record of our debt is nailed to the cross. And friends, that's it. That's the gospel. That's what makes this the most wonderful time of the year. Christ is the reason for the season. It is the grace of God that takes away our sins in Christ. It's that generosity that we heard about last week from Lance Davids, right? How God is generous with his grace to those who believe. It is his grace that he lavishes upon us that makes this season great. So what does all of this mean? What difference should this make to us? Well, let's read on. So we read, since then you have been raised with Christ. Paul goes on to say, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And what Paul is doing here is he's encouraging us to focus on pursuing a relationship with Christ. He's encouraging us to deepen our knowledge of Him. And Philippians 3:10 gives us some insight into what this looks like. It says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. See, friends, the goal of trusting Christ is to know Him. We should want to know Him, and we should want to become more and more like Christ. We should want to die to our old self. And we do that because of the assurance that we find in verse 3. If we read on, verse 3 says, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And this is the security that we have when we place our trust in Christ. Hidden with Christ in God. And this language actually echoes the language of the Old Testament that we find in Isaiah 49 and in several places in the Psalms. Hidden with Christ in God. And then in verse 4, Paul says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, we will appear with Him in glory. And isn't that our ultimate hope? Certainly we have hope in this world, but our ultimate hope is in the next. The perfection that we will have when Christ returns. An eternity spent basking in the light and love of our God. So all of this, everything that Paul has outlined to this point makes this season the most wonderful time of the year. Therefore, and Paul begins his next two thoughts with the word therefore. And what he's saying here is because of all that we've discussed to this point, because of the great love that he has for us, because of the salvation that we have through Christ our Savior, therefore, this is how we are to live our lives. In verse 5, he tells us, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. And then he goes on to add to that list in verse 8. He says, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. And in verse 9, he says, do not lie. And these are all forms of idolatry. Forms of idolatry that can corrupt our relationship with God. They can interfere with our ability to know God. We are to put to death all of these things and more. And here is where we participate in Christ's crucifixion. Okay? We participate in the crucifixion of Christ in that we put to death our old selves. And then, as Paul writes in verse 10, we are to put on the new self, which is renewed in knowledge. We are renewed in knowledge by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are being transformed more and more every day into the image of Christ. And see, Paul gives us this list of things to put to death so that we might treat each other as equals. See, there is no status among the people of God. No one person is more important than any other. And Paul makes that clear in verse 11, where he says, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. See, what Christ does is he breaks down those barriers. Christ breaks down the barriers of race. He breaks down the barriers of social status. He breaks down the barriers of ancestry. You know, the old hymn has it right. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. It really is. In Christ, we are all equal. And now we come to the second, therefore. And here's where I really want us to focus. Here's where I really want us to live for a couple minutes this morning. Okay? So Paul tells us in verse 12 and 13, therefore, as God's chosen people, and we are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, and we are holy and dearly loved. He says, therefore, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Friends, that is how we are to live our lives. Now, we could do a sermon series on these virtues. We could probably do a sermon series on each one of these virtues. But here's the bottom line. Our goal is to know Christ. That new self that we talked about being renewed in knowledge. And our goal is to be transformed, to become more and more like Christ. And that's that process of sanctification that we've talked about in the past, right? The process of sanctification, becoming more and more like Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, here's how we do it. Because if we look at each of these virtues, we see Christ. Is Christ compassionate? Absolutely. The Old Testament is filled with references to the compassion of God. Psalm 103:8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. In the New Testament, we see unbelievable compassion from Christ. He had compassion on the crowds. Mark 6:34 says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he had compassion on the sick and on the hurting. Compassion. Is Christ kind? Well, we know that he is because he not only had compassion, but he did something about it. He had compassion on the crowds, and then he taught them. And he even fed them. He met their spiritual and their physical needs. He had compassion on the sick, and then he healed them. Is Christ humble? Amazing humility. And we read about it in Philippians 2. It says, Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Humility. And is he gentle and patient? Absolutely. We see his patience with the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. We see that cycle of falling away from God and seeking repentance and God forgiving and then the Israelites falling away and seeking repentance and God forgiving again. Incredible patience with the nation of Israel. We see Christ's patience in the New Testament, and I think no better example than with his disciples. You know, we've been going through the book of Mark, and we see how many times Jesus had performed miracles or done something or told them something, and they just didn't get it. And very often you would read that Christ sighed. Oh, man, you guys are not getting it. But he was patient with them. And is he patient with us? I know he's patient with me. I'm a work in progress. I'm a work in progress. And lastly, has he forgiven? Well, this may be the most amazing virtue of all. Listen to what 1 John 1:8-9 says. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Amazing forgiveness. Amazing grace. What more can I say? And then Paul goes on to really kind of put the icing on the cake, so to speak. In verse 14, he tells us, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You see, love is the glue that holds this all together. It is the love of God that will transform us. The love of God that washes over us. It is His love that fills us to overflowing, and then that same love can flow out to those around us. And make no mistake, this is not just a warm and fuzzy suggestion, right? This is not something that's optional. In John 13, Jesus tells us, "A new command I give you." He doesn't say, you know, if it's not too much trouble, or if you feel like it. No, he says, "A new command I give you, love one another." So this is a really tall order, right? And is this something that we can do in our own power? No, absolutely not. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to live into these virtues in love. And this is where I want to wrap this all up. Now, that pun was intended. I wasn't sure if anyone was going to get that or not. You know, Christmas, this time of year, presents, wrapping. Yeah, didn't work. Okay. It's pretty bad if you have to explain it. So, anyway, this is where I want to wrap this all up in a neat package with a big red bow. Now, we talked earlier about the fact that this time of year can be challenging, incredibly challenging for some of us. Even more difficult than any other time of the year. So here are four things that I want us to keep in the forefront of our minds this holiday season. Four things that I want us to remember. Four things that we can do in an effort to live out these virtues that Paul has instructed us in. Number one, take time. Maybe it's even better said, make time. Either way, if we are rushing through life, there is no way that we can be sensitive to the needs of others. See, far too often we say things like, "How you doing?" But do we really want to hear what that person has to say? If they started answering honestly and they're hurting, do we have compassion for them? Do we have the patience to listen? Are we trying to show the love of God, or are we more worried about getting to the mall before it closes? Make time. Number two, be honest. Be open. Friend, if you're the one that's hurting, tell someone about it. And I know that this can be difficult, and I know that it exposes us and it makes us vulnerable. But sharing is a much better alternative to keeping it inside. See, we weren't meant to go through life solo. We were created for community. And Galatians 6:2 tells us to carry or bear each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Friends, we can't carry a burden that we don't know about. And I know that we all have challenges. We all have burdens. Talk to someone. I don't want to think about what might have happened to my nephew if he hadn't said something to someone. And if that person hadn't taken the time to listen. It could have been an incredibly different outcome. So make time, be honest. Number three, don't judge. Don't judge. It's pretty easy to think more highly of ourselves than we should when we learn of someone else's problems. Oh man, I'm glad I'm not dealing with that. I'm glad I'm not as bad off as that person. Man, it sounds like something a Pharisee would say, right? That's not clothing ourselves in humility, is it? We have to humble ourselves and not be judgmental. And the last thing, number four, Point them to Christ. Share the gospel. And you know, you don't have to do this in an overbearing way. You don't have to beat them over the head with it. Maybe you just do it by example. But point them to Christ. Christ is the ultimate deliverer. It isn't our job to take away the pain. It isn't our job to fix things. No, our job is to humbly come alongside people, support them regardless of where they are in their spiritual journey, and point them to Christ. You know, this really is the most wonderful time of the year. And it's not because of the jingle belling or the holiday parties or the roasted marshmallows or the mistletoeing. No. It is the most wonderful time of the year because the God of creation lavishes His love and grace upon us without measure. We are made alive in Christ, and our sins are forgiven and nailed to the cross. And this is the time of the year that we celebrate the arrival of our Messiah, Jesus Christ. Therefore, this holiday season, let's make a conscious effort to be sensitive to the people that God puts in our path. Let's take time and make time. Let's be honest and open. And in a non-judgmental way, point them to Christ. Let's show God's love to our neighbors. Let's share the gospel. Let's care for each other. Wow, that sounds incredibly familiar, doesn't it? Sounds a lot like our mission statement. Well, that's no mistake, friends. It is what we are called to. It is what we do. Can you imagine the impact we could have on this community if we lived into these virtues and fulfilled Christ's command to love one another? I guarantee you, people would sit up and take notice. Well, that is what we live for here at Hope Church. That's the kind of difference we want to make. And it's a difference we want to make not just in this holiday season, although certainly we want to focus on it this holiday season. But it's something that we want to carry on all year long. Won't you join us in this mission? Let's pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you and praise you, Lord. We thank you so much for your word. And we thank you for this season. This season that we celebrate the arrival of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the mercy and the grace that you pour out through the work of the cross. In Christ. And Father, I just pray that we would be a people that would be sensitive to the needs of the people around us. That we would take time, be honest, and in a non-judgmental way, point them to Christ. Father, hear our prayer, for it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.